Thank you, Rabbi Brand. Today you were more than kind in your introduction. Of course, my very great respect and cover to Rav Willig, who has been a very dear associate in the Bezdin of America, and just even before all the formal titles, we were connected when I was Rav in Young Israel Borough Park. Also, I would like to make one opening statement. If things were discussed about the prenuptial agreement, I've said that privately and I say it publicly, that Rav Willig Shalita is really responsible for all of what we call the lead work and the effort in going to Eretz Yisrael, building up the whole halachic background and getting the approbation of Gedolei Yisrael, who have given a haskama on the prenuptial years ago when it first came out. When I first saw who was maskim with Avadi Yosef Shalita and others, Gertner, one of the premier mumchim on matrimonial matters of Ishus and on Gitin and Eretz Yisrael, written a whole sefer on the Kfiya Beget, on a very thick volume halachic background exploring all the avenues why, and it comes out that the prenuptial is not a get that is forced upon a person, which would be prohibited by halacha. And later on, when I saw that, I didn't have much to look over. I signed on it because these gedolim had signed. So it's should be given the credit for that. There's no question about it, and he's the one most authoritative person to talk about it. My subject is dealing the way the title was expressed here is about shiduchim, to use the shiduch and marriage checklist, Torah expectations. So I hope to present the combination of some halachic backgrounds and values as we find in halacha, within whether in Chazal generally, but as brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Generally, when we talk to, let's say, today's community, the modern community that is connected with all technology of communication, of knowing people, and the social aspects of intermingling of different people in the communities that we have, whether at home, whether in the shul, in the marketplace, wherever it is, where you have contact with another gender, male or female and so forth. So someone would say, well, what's the problem? You know, the old American idea, boy meets girl, there's an attraction, and so one thing leads to another, and there'll be a shidduch. But the requirements of Torah, and actually in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole section in Eben Ezra, Hilchas Pira V'Yeribia, which is talking about the concept literally, because the purpose of marriage fundamentally is propagation of the species. That's basically the way it's supposed to be in the most kosher manner. So there are several sections in that area which describe of, you know, what type of people, how should people choose their mates, you know, both on both genders, how to explore this. But before that, it's most interesting, whether we realize that or not, there is a famous medrash at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu, because the last couple of sedras, Chayasora talks about Shiduchim, Eliezer going off to Choron, and they're meeting Rivka and everything that happens after that. There it's not so spectacular in the sense of the interplay between Ish v'Isha, and it seems all destined, Mi Hashem Yotzo Hadover, comes from Hashem. And then you have in Toldos, you have all this interplay there with Esav and his intermarriages, and now you come Vayetze. So there's a medrash, that's a famous medrash, and you're talking about topic of the day, in Yonah D'Yoma, what is found in the Sevi. You look in that medrash, I'm not going to read the entire medrash, but just select a point where the medrash says at the beginning of Vayetze there was a matrona, a Roman matron. When they talk about matrona, generally means an important, articulate Roman lady. Matrona is a Latin word, and she asked a question there And she asked, what is HaKadosh, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, what is he doing since that time? What's Hashem doing? So the answer was, Mezaveg Zavugim. He's bringing people together in marriage. Mezaveg Zavugim, creating connections. So she said, well, I can do that. And she was very wealthy, and she, the way it's described, she had 1,000 slaves, males, she had females, she put them all together, it says, you marry this one, you marry this one, and so forth, and after the first night of their meeting, and so forth, they wake up in the morning, somebody's is battered, somebody has what we call a black eye, broken, and everything else. So, as if to say, look, I see that it's not so easy. That's the whole point. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezaveg Zavugim, then, in other words, if it's a marriage, what we say in English, made in heaven, or so, then you won't have that type of situation. So it's very important that in Mezaveg Zavugim, in preparing for marriage or making the connection with marriage, we should understand that we are doing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's work. That's the whole concept, that it's important to be involved in that. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara sets up certain guidelines, and this is something which is extremely important. I'm going to go from one thing to another and how it plays out in practical things, and also matters that come to me in my desk here in Chicago, where and many other Rabbanim that have the Paskin Shilas. That before the idea of bringing together male and female, and you want to make a zivuch, family has a nice young man, whether he's learning in a yeshiva or he's becoming a professional, whatever the background is. Of course, the type of audience that is being described here today or in this community, I don't like the whole general term modern orthodox. I don't know what modern orthodox is. I've always tried to be orthodox. I don't know how modern I am, but that's the way it is. Yeah, it's an orthodox rabbi. I've been praised for it, and I've been attacked for it. I've been in the rabbinate, I would say, almost in the actual front lines of the rabbinate and positions over 60 years. That's not an asmachta. That's not an exaggeration. That's a true thing. So I've come across all different levels of what orthodoxy means and so forth. So let me give you an extreme as far as making shidduchim, and you see that every community has a certain type of attitude or standards. Well, I will mention here, I mentioned this when we have in CRC, we have a wonderful type of month and a half seminars we call the young leadership, where some of the what we call the younger rabbis in the community, whoever they are, whether they're modern Orthodox or not, we have Chabad rabbis coming in there too. They must also be modern Orthodox. Anyhow, so they come in and we have a session, a halachic question and answer session, which describes certain things, and one of them had to do with matrimonial issues and shilas relating to this particular subject and its ramifications. So at that time, I found a startling type of interchange of letters from Bnei Brak. Now, you know what type of community Bnei Brak. You wouldn't describe it as a modern Orthodox community. Anyhow, now here is a shows a type of extreme that still exists in communities. There was a famous great Talmud Chacham. He was called Binyamin HaTzadik. Rabbi Binyamin Zilberzal was a Baal HaRoah, great Talmud Chacham, and really you call him a saint and sage in the Bnei Brak community. So he wrote a lot of Sforim, and one of them is a whole series of Sforim called Oz Nidbru. Now in the third Chalik, it seems that he had written, now listen carefully what he said, he had written a statement that it's permissible when you're making a shidduch for the potential chosen to look at the kala. Mutter lehistakel b'meshudeches. He's allowed to look, I'm quoting the way it says, allowed to look at the Kala. He wrote that in the Sefer. That's all part of the Shidduch process. In other words, that even in a very, we'd say, extreme Orthodox community, that the chassan, the potential chassan and Kala should meet each other, look at each other, know who they're marrying. So he gets a letter, and the letter's printed from the Kleuzenberger Ravzal, who was a Adam Gottel in learning, a famous Holocaust survivor. He was considered the liberal amongst the Hasidim because he built the whole community there in the Tanya. The Lanyadel Hospital has a lot to do with his efforts. It's Tzanz. He's a descendant of the Divrei Chaim, the great Pesach in the 19th century, the Divrei Chaim, Reb Chaim Tzanzer. So he criticizes severely Rabbi Yamin Zilber. What do you mean you're allowed to look at the Meshudechas? You don't have to look at her. He said, get married off. That's it. It sounds way out of the world. But there is such a, we would say, a society or a community that has that particular approach amongst the Hasidim. And later on, there's another letter in the same Sefer from the former Av Bezdin of Budapest, who later came into El Yisrael and was part of the Eder Haredis, Rav Welts, who also supports what the Kleuzenberger Rav says. So there's one particular extreme. Now, so the question is, I think even today's yeshiva world doesn't go to that extreme. The yeshiva world today that we know about, whether in the USA or even in generally in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't go to that particular extreme. There is an introduction between the bride and the groom, the potential chassan and kala. But to show how certain attitudes relate to gender, and from that we can draw an extreme conclusion, to show that there is certain societies that change their attitude and is not considered a break in tradition, is something that when you have a Sheva Brachas, there's a din, when you have a Sheva Brachas, so you have a Sheva Brachas, you have men and women and so forth, so there's a psak from the Beis Shmuel, one of the foremost Pashkim in Ebenezer, who says that if you have men and women in the same room, you can't say the Lashon, the language, has simcha bim ono. That's a classic expression saying that when you have celebration of a wedding and the Sheva Brachas, that there's simcha, there's joy in the dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you have men and women in the same room, you can't do it. That's what the Beis Shmuel says. However, the Chidor, who lived in the 18th century, who wrote myriad Svarim, and one of his tshuvas, the Yosef Emetz, he quotes Minhage Reb Isaac Tirna, Yitzhak Isaac Tirna. There is a collection of Minhagim that are printed in the back of a classic Sefer and Haror of the Lavush, in the first section of Lavush toward the very end. And the Minhage Isaac Tirna, which goes earlier than the Chidor, maybe early 18th century, maybe even before, I can't exactly put the exact time on it, who refers to that concept. He says, we are so used to having, in other words, in society, we're used to, men and women are used to seeing each other without making any, what we would call production out of it, or having a concern about it, or so forth. So that does not apply to the way we act toward each other. So I'm just saying that in the process of Shidduchim, you have that one extreme there from the Bnei Brak with Rabbi Yamin Zilber and the Kleuzenberger, but in our world today, speaking from basic Torah values, there is certain, we would say, a flexibility of how these things should be done. There has to be an application of good common sense, halacha, and sensitivity. So one of the first things in trying to look for a shidduch, let's say a family has a daughter or so, they're looking for a chassan, or whatever it is. And when they're not leaving it up to a social social interchange. You know, years ago, people used to say, well, the fellow went out, someone recommended a girl, he took her out on a date. And later on, something, another date or so forth, and he comes to the parents, I want to marry this girl, or we're attracted, or so forth. We should not leave it to that particular chance. It just has, there has to be a hishtadlus, an attempt on parents of both genders to investigate with whom their son or daughter is going to have a connection, what we call a date or so forth. And if the investigation is a proper one, and I would say it's a requirement, it would avoid a lot of problems later on. Let me give you an example. Let's say if you left it just by chance that someone said, this family with that family have a nice young man, a nice young lady, they'll meet, have a date. You have to look, before it ever happens, look into the background of the family. First of all, you have to ask, were there any divorces in the family? Not that divorce, a get, is a psul, is a disqualification. Find out that if there was a remarriage, let's say by the mother of the chassan or the kala, and that remarriage took place without a proper get, what's the status of the offspring? You have a problem. Maybe the offspring is not legitimate enough to enter into the community of Israel. This happens not only once or twice. I get these questions every now and then. What happens after people have made almost arrangements, even after engagements, suddenly they didn't investigate the family background. Recently, just last week, there's the same Shaila, let's say the Chosen is a Kohen. There you can have many problems. The Kohen has certain limitations as to whom he may marry. And for all of this, this is the way I explain it, because it, sometimes it seems doesn't seem fair, but it's a balance. Kohen has privileges. He can bless the people. The greatest God in the world, if he's not a Kohen, can't get up and duchen. Only the Kohen, he might not know too much, but he can do it. So he has privileges, but he also has restrictions. One of his restrictions, he can't marry a Gerusha, a divorcee. He cannot marry someone who is a convert, a Geyerus, no matter how nice and how righteous, but he can't do that. He can't marry in a tragic situation where a girl was assaulted by a non-Jew or lived with a non-Jew, though she is, well, not at fault, but she can't marry a Kohen. And the same thing is, if you had a intermarriage, whatever it was, you had a Jewish mother, and you had a non-Jewish father, and the offspring is a girl, that girl, a chatchila, ab initio, cannot marry a Kohen. So all of this, it's a big order. You'll have to be able to know that the people that are coming together, if it's going to come to marriage, and that's the purpose of the zivug, of the attempt of zivug, that should be kosher. It should have those things should be cleared up. The later on, you shouldn't have a bitter problem that we might have to investigate. Is the child legitimate? Maybe is it not legitimate? Was the marriage good? Was it not marriage? Was the conversion a good conversion? Was it not a good conversion? You have all of this is intertwined in a preparation for a zivug. You have to investigate the family background. There's another thing that Chazal says, one of my favorite expressions, and we're talking about character and how people act towards each other. The Gemara says in Kedushin a very cryptic statement. It says, Yichusa de Bavel Shtikusa. The Yichus of Bavel, in other words, of the Jewish communities that were in Bavel at that time, vis-a-vis Israel, is their silence. What does it mean, silence? And so it's explained in the Paschim and brought in the Shulchan Aruch the following. There, and that was simonim that deal with preparations for marriage or seeking a mate, where the, if you see a family, sometimes you see, let's say it's a Fum family, but they're very contentious. They're always arguing with each other. They're always criticizing. Stay away from it. Because that's not a, it's a yichus if they're quiet. Not that they're withdrawn or totally shy, but we would say they're well-mannered. They have manners. They don't argue or contentious, because imagine getting into a marriage situation. And there might be, and there always will be, there's no perfect situation, husband and wife will get in sometimes a difference of opinion. But will it be an opinion where their person must say, I'm absolutely right? He will raise his voice or she will raise her voice, and there you'll have a war. So you have to have a family that is used to being able to compromise, to be able to live with each other even as a family. Even as a blood kin, they have to be able to live with each other. So how are they going to live with a stranger? So that's also, people have to ask around about these things. As a law, for many years, I've been called by families that are interested in shidduchim. One of the questions they will ask, they want to sort of gauge the degree of what we call the fumkeit, or the piety of the family. What kind of shilas does that family ask? Do they ask questions about kashrus, about taras amishpacha, things of that sort? They will try to say that, and without revealing too many confidences, because I want to further the aspect of a shidduch, I will try to describe it the best way possible. Of course, there's a very delicate area, something shouldn't be lashon hara or whatever it is, but this is an important fact. Another thing that even Chazal, and it's even in the Shulchan Aruch, and that we know today, things have been set up in the general Orthodox community, reaching even to the Hasidic community, and what we would call the Haredi community, is the question of hereditary genetic diseases. Could be a problem. Sometimes if male and female come together, and they might seem to be perfectly healthy, but there might be a gene that might be repeated with that connection that will produce offspring that will be tragic, that will be crippled, that will end up with a genetic disease. So the Chazal referred, if you see a mishpacha, that they use the term there of nichpim, there's a great deal of epilepsy or any type of disease which might be passed on. I can't give any medical opinion about that, but the general idea is that people should ask that. You avert tragedy. So we have such means today of Dor Yeshorim. They have a genetic testing situation without names where people are registered and their blood type is taken, and later on that the numbers are brought together, if medically, scientifically, without them even knowing each other, it's not going to work. Produce that type of crippled offspring, so we stay away from that shidduch. So this is part of an investigation. It's not, all of this goes together with the halachic approach and the background that you have here in Chazal. Now also, there is other aspects that have to be observed. And this is the question that I mentioned before in preparing for marriage. I know that in the communities in general, which have appeared in later years, and Baruch Hashem, we have good part of that. You have kala classes and chosin classes. Now, what's the subject matter mostly? I know about the kala classes, where the young ladies are prepared to understand the laws of taras amishpacha, mikveh, how to deal with that period of time, separation, non-separation, and so forth. And there are chassan classes. I don't know what they tell them in the chassanim classes. They probably relate to the same thing, that they should be aware of how they should observe in the general aspect of marital relationships. What I would add is, according to the terrible things that have come across my desk that I've had to deal with, that chassanim classes and kala classes should emphasize how to live in a marriage relationship. The sensitivity, that the fundamental should be is respect for the other party. When the Gemara says, Amechabed Ishtei, and also a person who gives respect to his wife, and it's understood that it would be vice versa, it even uses the expression, Yosem Igufo, more than himself, because many times a person's impetus or momentum into a marriage is an egotistical thing. He's only thinking of what I'm getting out of this. It's almost called in psychological language narcissistic. He only sees himself, doesn't see anybody else. What about the other party or so forth? So there has to be a consideration of understanding that in marriage there has to be an acceptance, especially in this day's world, of shouldering a burden. This is backed by this approach by Chazal that has to be a chesed, an act of kindness and sensitivity to the other party. We preach in our schools how the both genders, whether it's a girl's school, a boy's school, a co-ed school, whatever it is, acts of chesed. Kindness. Avraham Avinu is the Amud HaChesed, act of kindness. So what about between husband and wife? How do you show that sensitivity? I always repeat something that I heard from a practicing marital counselor and a very capable psychologist. He was talking to Kollel Jungelite. I don't know whether we're talking to our Kollel people today. Well, he said in general, he was in Borough Park, he said, one of the first things I tell them when they get married, learn how to use a vacuum cleaner. That's what he said. So what the vacuum cleaner means this. You're going to come home from the kollel there. You'll expect, let's say, a supper before you go back to the night seder, because that you got married within that type of schedule. And you expect your supper on the table. But what about helping with cleaning up? Not everybody has a maid, or someone, a cleaning lady, or someone that's coming, gonna clean up the house and vacuum the carpets. You have to show that you can assist in doing this. Learn how to use the vacuum cleaner. And I would add, them should learn how to use the washing machine. And things of that sort. Learn how to help take care of the children. All of that. That is a true thing. That's all part of what the Chazal say, the Amidah Shatera Memfes Dvorim. There are 48 things that the Ben Torah has to distinguish himself as and how to use. No say be all in Chaveiro. To be able to share somebody else's burden. You share somebody else's burden. It could be in a public forum. You help someone. Moshe Rabbeinu was described as the one that started, that demonstrated that. He saw somebody beating up a Jew. Vayetze Moshe el Echov, he went out to his brothers. He stepped right in to share the burden of the pain of that fellow and tried to help. So the same thing here in a marriage situation, share the burden of everything that is on the chores of your mate. And it works both ways, that's how it should be. And this is a very important, sensitive thing which is backed by these phrases that you have in Chazal. But the aspects of all of this are extremely important because it means a development, a constant development, that it's an ongoing situation. One of the things I once remarked and I heard about it was that in trying to choose a mate, the Gemara, and it's also brought in the Shulchan Aruch. People marry for different reasons. Sometimes they marry because they're going to come into the big money. And they say, Isha l'shum mammon. They know whether it's the man knows that girl's father, he has a lot of money, or so forth. So he's not really marrying the girl. He wants to be able to get part of the resources of the father. So the Chazal looked down upon it. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says that it's improper. In fact, there are some that state, the Beis Shmuel and other Meforshim, that out of such a marriage that was motivated by monetary connections, the offspring are not going to be so good. They're going to be not very good children, not whatever it is, they use general terms, kibonim or bonos zorim, like strangers. They will not really be within the real framework of proper observance of Torah and mitzvahs, because things were on a mercenary basis. I remember years ago, once attending a RCA convention, one of the rabbis brought up a shocking thing in a certain very important yeshiva community, that a young man was brought to his attention. He was making a shidduch, and there was a wealthy father-in-law. He said he's not, and he was in demand. He was supposed to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham in learning. He was going to go far, but he put, he said, I want $50,000 in the bank. If it's not in the bank, I'm not making the shidduch. So, I mean, I heard that. I was astounded to have such a son-in-law, let him go look somewhere else. I mean, even I would have the money. That's not the type, that's not the type that is idealistic by Chazal. That's not a value. Because if there's a monetary value into the life that you're going to build with your life's, with a life helpmate and spouse, everything based on monetary values, so you're in for a big surprise. That marriage is not going to last, because overnight all of that could disappear. So where's your marriage? And this is what has happened. We see in this past few years of the downturn of certain things in economy, when investments were lost, people were devastated. They were devastated in their own lives, what they thought about, how they're going to live the future. But the question is, the family, a family itself that builds on all of these commercial and materialistic values is not really a total Jewish family. There has the ruchnius, the spirituality, the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, the acts of kindness, of being a real, true, genuine Torah human being, are missing from such a type of an arrangement or marriage, if you want to call it. It's an arrangement rather than anything else. So that also is mentioned there in that section there in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, also, I would like to mention that it's a very important aspect of all of these relationships, is a concept, and that affects other people. There's a concept of shalom bias. That's a general term, peace of the house. Shalom bias is considered an extremely important thing as it relates not just to the husband and wife, but also the community around or family around. Many times a marriage is disrupted and even destroyed because so-called maybe well-meaning or maybe controlling or dominating family members, we say in Yiddish, a mission zecharayim. They get involved in the relationship between this couple and husband and wife, and they disrupt. That's considered, I remember once years ago, I saw a scene, I heard this scene where someone was talking about a man's wife to that man, about how she handled in a commercial transaction in a store or something of that sort. So there was a learned Rebbetzin that overheard the conversation. So she said to this Hasidic man, "Das ist gegessen chazir. You're eating treif. When you do a thing like that, you wouldn't dare touch anything that is not kosher. And you're disrupting the relationship between a husband and wife. You're destroying a shalom bias. You can't interfere. That's not your part, to accept such a responsibility where you want to you think you're going to make things right. Rather, you're destroying a particular relationship by building up this type of a wall or speaking about one to the other in a very derogatory fashion. So shalom bias is very important. Now, what happens in a situation, and that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch and Yevodeah, in, let's say, a son, for example, that's the case that is originally brought, is interested in marrying a certain girl, boy meets, however they met and whatever was research and background, we're not going into that, but the son makes up his mind, that's my shidduch. that say the father and the mother, and this happens many times. Sometimes it breaks up a family relationship. Oh, if you marry that girl, I can't tell. We're not talking about where it's an intermarriage. It's just where it's a Jewish girl, a Jewish boy, whatever it is, and he makes up his mind, that's the one I have to marry. So the father says, look, I'm your father. You're supposed to respect my opinion. You're supposed to have their two dinim. There's meira, awe of a father, and kibbut aviim. That's a mitzvah of the Torah. It's in the Aseres Adibus, what we call the Ten Commandments. Is the son required to listen to the father? And even the father says, I demand of you gzeiras kibbut av. It's the edict of respect for the father. So the Shulchan Aruch brings a tshuva, a responsum of the Marik. The Ramah brings it in Hilchus Kibbut Aviim and Yerudeya, that the son does not, in that case, that's where an exception. The child does not have to listen to the father if they made their choice. We're not saying whether it's good or bad, but if he makes that choice or she makes that choice or so forth, then the dean of Kibbut Aviim does not relate to that. And probably trying to understand on a rational basis, because many the person himself knows many times how he could relate. You know, this is a combination of rational and emotional feelings which someone on the outside cannot have. And I'd have that feeling towards the other gender, whichever gender is in question. So that is also an important question. I'm not advocating here that all children should not listen to their parents. They should listen to their advice. But if, as if to say, push comes to shove, sometimes that's the way it is. And oftentimes it leaves a bitter taste or bad relationship, which also the son or daughter making that choice should understand how it's going to be or what's going to happen. But coming to that halacha, that shows how important the individuality and the uniqueness of the marriage relationship is. It's between the two genders, and no one else really should be able to interfere if it's going to be a productive and positive relationship built on Torah and mitzvahs. So I've discussed a lot of these aspects of inyanim of shiduchim or so forth. There are many different other questions that come up, as they say, on a rav's desk about when people get into shiduchim. Let's say there are certain disabilities a person might have. Now, some of them are perhaps have just passed what we would call in the language of Chazal, a mum over. It's a disability that has gone away or something. A person at a certain time might have had a slight mental situation, which later on has come back to a good sense of normality. It's totally under control for many years. Should this be related to the other party or not? So there's differences of opinion. Some will say, well, maybe you should tell that to the person, but oftentimes that will turn off the whole relationship. Others have paskin, namely Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch, who is a well-known Baal HaRoah, who's written a great deal and also not only serves in Eretz Yisrael today as in the Eder HaRedis, as one of the chief and most important Dayanim, but he spent many years in South Africa, in Johannesburg, dealing with what we call a totally non-Orthodox community and dealing with Baalei Tshuva. He has dozens and dozens of responsa in very short form and very direct, where he talks about many of these problems, about that, and he says that where it's already confirmed by all medical authorities, there's no problem with that person, therefore he says you could go on to it. But that's a sort of a calculated type of a risk. Unfortunately, the last few cases that have been dumped, I would say literally dumped on me by women that are seeking Gitin was when they married somebody and it was covered up that he had severe mental situations that could have been diagnosed at that time. whether it was a bipolar thing, the mood swings of people, or whether it was even to the severity of acute schizophrenia that didn't show itself. But once the marriage took place, it was a disaster. The things that are described there are just impossible to describe. The beatings, the battering, the insults, the lack of respect and so forth, and all of this was covered up before. And then later on it comes, well, let's terminate the marriage. He doesn't want to give a get. Or he's smart enough, mentally deranged he is, he wants money. He wants a lot of money, and this is what you have. You know, so a lot of these things have to be looked in, and people have to be, as I say, I can't give you an exact approach, but people have to be aware of all of these particular possibilities. And of course, what we have is that the situations, when it comes to the final aspect, we also have to seek what we call a total aspect, where the couple will be able to live together with a sense of respect, and also they respect their own individualities. I'll just use a situation where I am not a marital counselor. I reject that title, and I'm not involved. I leave that to those who have studied this, who deal with it as marital counselors. I can only recommend people to marital counselors. But I once had a case in Borough Park. A woman walks in, and she came from the Hasidic community. You see, I asked the first question I asked, you're from the Hasidic community, you're Hota Rebbe, you have a Rebbe. And oh, why don't you go to the Rebbe? He says, the Rebbe will hear no gute Sachen. He wants to hear good things, not bad things. So I don't tell him that. Nitkin, bad, good things. What's she telling me? She says she's suspicious about her husband. He has a fine business. They have plenty of money. But he's always coming home late, 10 o'clock at night. Almost every night. He comes home, he's tired, exhausted, has no time for me. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm taking care of the house, taking care of the children, and so forth. So I said to her, I said, look, I said, I'm going to give you some practical advice. The rest you go to a marital counselor. First of all, I say, do you have money for a maid, for someone to clean up? She says, yes, so why don't you use it? Why do you have to do all the housework and knock yourself out? So that when he comes home, he sees a shmata. He sees a worn-out woman that is not attractive or anything else of that sort. And then I said to her, that why don't you say that once you have that in place, you have some sort of a schedule, have him take you out to dinner to a kosher restaurant, to a Hasidic restaurant. I'm not telling you to go to the ballet or something. That's not in their schedule. But have some time for yourself to relate together as a husband and wife and have a pleasant evening. So you say, oh, that was a good idea, so forth and so on. But I'm just saying, some people forget where they are or what they are, what resources they have to make a marriage better according to halachic lines. I mean, where it's possible for such things to happen. You know, the joke is that before I said that about the extremes between the Kleisenberg of Rav and Rabbi Yonin Zilber there in Bnei Brak about not even to look at the Meshudeches, there always was a joke that used to be in the yeshiva world where someone comes the woman comes to the Rebbe and says, my husband doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He's on the verge of running away. He might want to give me a get or so forth. So the Rebbe doesn't look at her. Of course, he doesn't look at the lady. And he says, well, he said, I'm mispalel at Tzrikhemen. He'll come back. So as she's leaving, the Gabbai of the Rebbe looks at the woman and she says, Evet Nitzrikhemen. He's not going to come back looking at her. Because it has a lot to do. A person has their own self-image. How they have to portray themselves. People should not allow themselves to reduce themselves as far as being a person and acting as a person. That's actually backed by what Chazal always say about the deportment and the conduct of people. Now, there are other areas, what we call areas of intimacy and so forth, which is not the subject matter today, but in the process of shiduchim, of zivugim, this is important. There has to be a lot of what we call homework has to be done. Groundwork before people are introduced and how long that should be. People have, I heard recently, I get this from my children or grandchildren, El Zangazun, they say, well, it's out there in yeshiva world, if you see the girl three times, you gotta make up your mind already. That's enough. So I don't know whether there's such a limit or so. In other communities, you don't even see her. They just bring them together and that's it. I don't know whether there is. People have to get insights, mainly on character, on sensitivity, how they would act. The midos, the good measures of how a person behaves are the most important things. That will make or break a marriage. It won't be the intensity of observing of all the minutiae of a particular deen in what we call frumkeit or hilchas frumkeit, but the midos being odom lachaver, between one person and another, how people act to others, their generosity of action and of spirit. That's what helps in building the marriage. Olam chesed yabane. The world is built on chesed, and chesed, of course, pertains to husband and wife. That's how you build a good shiduchim, and we hope and pray that these connections will be built on chesed, so we should have more lasting marriages, so that our bezdin should not have to deal with so many geeks. Thank you.
Amen.